Virginia's Tony Bennett. Huh. It's just like, oh, Scott's ready? Oh, man. Hello, Scott Drew. Welcome to the Mosley Show. How are you doing today?
How are we doing, Mr. Mosley?
Ah, man, I'm so excited to be talking to you. And we are headed to Memphis. In fact, we've turned it into a road trip. And
really?
We'll be kind of.
I love it.
We've got that elevation worship queued up, Scott. We are ready for the tunes on this road trip.
I like it. My question is, how many barbecue spots can you hit along the way?
Ooh. Is that a challenge? We're about to find out.
Mosley's a winner. I'm sure he can get that done with three or four hot spots.
Yeah. I was hoping to broadcast from your presidential suite. You'll be at shoot-arounds and be doing all important stuff tomorrow. So if your suite is available between the hours of 3 to 6, I think that would be kind of cool. Just Mosley
cool.
Here.
I like that.
Oh, man. Well, you've done this now a lot. Does it feel different every time? I mean, you're always grateful. But, boy, you've been to one seed a lot. You've been to three seed. I think there was a two seed. Y'all done it from the five seed. There might have been a six seed mixed in. Like, does it always kind of feel the same, or is there a different level of excitement? Where is your excitement level as you get ready to take this team on this journey?
Hey, there is always an excitement level no matter what seed you are, and that's why it's called March Madness and just not March. And you can take them seeds and throw them out because we all know about parity in college basketball. So 40-minute game. If they wanted the best team to win, they'd play 4-7 like in the NBA. But anything can happen in 40 minutes, and it's a great honor, privilege, blessing to ever be a part of March Madness. And you got to be on point, otherwise it's over for you.
And I thought you did a great job with your net manipulation to get this three seed. I thought you've done a tremendous job, the Big 12. I did see who you could end up against, Scott, and I know you don't look ahead, only at Colgate, but you have seen a bracket, all right? So the rest of us in talk radio, we kind of like a potential matchup in that second round, all right? Again, I don't want you to get too into that, but just know, you know, we have seen who could be waiting out there in round two, okay?
Well, we are hoping there is a round two because, as you know, if you don't take care of business in round one, there is no round two. So that's why coaches never look ahead. And the great thing is the excitement involved. You never have to worry about motivating your guys and making sure they're ready to play because everybody's excited. Everybody's ready to put their best foot forward, and there is no looking past people. There is no taking people for granted. It's win or go home.
And Scott, I wanted to ask you about the big news earlier. You announced no Langston this weekend. You know, he's obviously been dealing with those injuries for the better part of a month and a half now. You had talked before the Big 12 tournament about getting him integrated and getting players used to playing with him again. And now, kind of on the flip side of that, now he's not in for this weekend. Is there anything that you guys need to change with the mentality of the players of, hey, Langston's not going to be with us this weekend, you know, we're working with him, but is that something where they need kind of a mental reset to know that he's not playing out this weekend?
Well, I can tell you from a player's standpoint, Langston's a big part playing or not playing because he is an upperclassman. He's a great leader, has a lot of respect, and guys look up to him. So when he's been out, he's done a great job in helping our team in the coaching realm and speaking encouragement and helping shed his knowledge on the guys playing. I think what it does do is it allows players to know, because we've played virtually now. I don't know how many games it is without him, but it allows guys to know, all right, this is what I'm probably looking at when I come in. And then obviously foul trouble, injury, how the team plays, things change from there. But at least it allows them to know what to expect, because when you put someone back in, then everyone has to kind of reset, regroup, get used to what the new roles might be. So for coaches, you want to know what you have. And that's why, for people out there, Langston injured his ankle, injured it a different way. And then this third injury has been a different injury. So it's never been the same injury and re-aggravating. It's actually been different injuries to the same ankle. So that's the other day he tried to go, and we knew that he couldn't go. So that's why today we shared that news.
Different injuries to the same ankle. That's wild. I mean, so the tech, I saw you look good out there.
Upper, I mean, you got, hey, it's been a troubled foot. and a lot of it, what's crazy is like at BYU, it was the opposite side of it. And it was a non-contact injury. He just planted. And then the third injury, again, to a different part of it, came from a player stepping on it. So it wasn't even landing on someone's foot. It was just someone stepping on his upper foot. So Dave Snyder got all the medical terms for it. But, I mean, in all three of them, he never landed on a foot, which is a normal ankle sprain where you land on someone's foot and your foot rolls over. And all three, none of that happened. Even the first one with Tech, he came down on his own and landed that way. So heart goes out to him. He's a tough kid. If he could play, he would 100%.
What'd you say to Lohner in Kansas City? I mean, he was shot out of a rocket, looked great. I mean, stepping into threes. You've always known he was capable of that. Doesn't always maybe stay in the game as long. But, boy, he earned additional time. What's kind of happened with Caleb? He's always been a good energy guy, but man, that was he even stepped it up another notch, I thought, in Kansas City.
Well, I think defensively and rebounding wise, he was tremendous, and he usually is very yeah. good. Offensively, I think the game has slowed down a little bit for him, and he's done a great job in playing within himself. Taking advantage of what the defense gives him. I mean, he is tremendous at driving closeouts and getting to the paint. And with his size, strength, athleticism, it's really hard to keep him out of there. And I know people will comment that he made the three, but the three, that was 10%. 90% of what he did was all the other stuff. And defensively and rebounding-wise, when we do play zone or you play against bigger physical teams, having Jalen and him at the 3-4, you're not getting dominated physically for sure.
And Scott, sorry, I didn't want to belabor the point here, but one last thing on Langston. We heard Bill Self talk about Kevin McCullough, obviously way different situation, but similar in that he was integrated back into games the last month, but said that Kevin had not practiced for that whole span, basically that six-week span. Has Langston been able to practice at all, or was that also part of the concern about bringing him back out to the games?
Well, unfortunately, he wasn't able to practice much. And when he came back for BYU, he practiced a little bit. The second time he came back, we practiced him a little bit more to make sure that he had enough time to be able to go and closer to 100%. When you sprain an ankle and you go through that, you're probably never going to be 100% till 3 or 4 months later. So can you structurally do what you need to do without putting your ankle at risk or your other body at risk? And that's why we were a little cautious with them and brought him back the second time a little bit slower. And unfortunately, he played well against Tech, felt great. And then the next day when we were in practice or the day after that, had a player land on his foot, and different injury, same foot, same leg, and that led to where we're at today. So, again, heart goes out to him. He's a really tough kid, but he's going to, just like he's done all along when he's been out, it's Coach Love, and he'll do a great job helping the team in every way he can, and it allows other people an opportunity to step up. And the good thing is we've been able to win when we had different people out, and that's what you got to do this time of year because most teams aren't 100%.
Absolutely.
What does Colgate do. They keep going to the tournament. They're doing something right. And I believe they have the player of the year in the Patriot League. That Braden Smith seems like a really nice young player. When you started getting to study them, what really stood out about them?
Well, first and foremost, anytime they have four players that are, this will be their fourth trip to the NCAA tournament. Whenever you have been that successful, no matter what conference, what league, you're really playing good basketball, which means you're not turning over, you're defending, you're taking high percentage shots, and their coaching staff deserves a lot of credit. They've kept players. In this day and age, when a lot of times players have success, they transfer to where maybe the NIL is greater, maybe grass is always greener, a philosophy. But they've kept their core pieces and done a great job in adding. This year they had, I always call guys by their numbers. So number 14 was the preseason player of the year. Number two ends up winning player of the year. When you have multiple people being, and they're probably one and two in player of the year candidates, that definitely is a recipe for success if you got the two best players in the league. And then they had other players nominated and received accolades as well. But it's a deep team with four guys going the fourth time, four other guys that'll be their second or third time. So that's eight guys with a lot of experience in the NCAA tournament. And at the end of the day, no matter what you do, coaches always would rather have more experience rather than less, mm-hmm. if possible.
Scott, I would not be a great guy on your staff, because I'll tell you this, if I think about any game long enough I can get worried. This is the only reason, of course, because if I think about any game long enough, I could get really worried. And I look at Colgate, a team that's basically won the last five Patriot League titles with a COVID year mixed in there, and they're experienced. They haven't won a tournament game yet, but they're used to this kind of environment. And I think about a couple of guys for us that don't have that experience yet, and I talked myself into it a little bit. But then I thought, you know, you guys play in the best conference in America. It's grueling for 2.5 straight months of the best competition there is. So for the lack of NCAA tournament experience on the team and in that starting five, how much of that just gets made up for with the kind of schedule you guys have? I mean, the number one strength of schedule in the entire country.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that you would think there's nothing that you would be in awe of. I mean, we played in the best venues in the country, in front of the best fans in the country, and that includes our own at home, obviously. But here's what it does come down to, and that is we're all still human. And you listen to a great song really loud, you get fired up. And you put 20,000 fans in front of you, you get fired up, and that triggers the nerves, and that just, it's a different sensation. And this is March Madness. It's the NCAA tournament. And this is the pinnacle of our sport, meaning you grow up, if you want to play college basketball, you dream of being in the NCAA tournament. So there's nerves, there's jitters, and there's excitement. And then there's also the reality you don't know your opponent as well, and there's some freshness into that. But at the same time, everybody that's in the NCAA tournament, they can play, and there's a reason their team's in there. And the great thing about the last few years, our team has always respected everybody we've played, because we've had a lot of players from different levels, different countries. And sometimes they've been the five-star guys, sometimes they've been the zero-star guys. And you've got to respect everybody and be ready for everybody's best, because you're probably going to get it.
What do you tell Ray J and Jaden, you know, some other players that haven't been in that atmosphere, the NCAA tournament? Who do you have another player address that? Tweety, do you kind of give them that talk, the stuff you were just talking about? Like, how do you try to convey that to them without obviously trying to freak them out? Because these guys, like you said, have played in big-time environments. But how do you kind of get their mindset right and kind of get them prepared for this run?
I think you do all the above. And that is, okay. You have anyone on your team talk with them. You have coaches talk with them. But the reality is this. If someone tells you don't put your hand on the hot stove, You listen. You hopefully don't do it. But you know what? Sometimes you're reaching over the cabinet or whatever to get something. The stove's hot and you get burned. And you remember a lot better from there on. Don't get burned by the stove, right? So personal experience is always better than what people tell you. But you gotta make do with what you got. And we'll try all the above. At the end of the day, it's the same basketball game, same court measurement, same ball. It's a 10-foot hoop. So just focus and concentrate. We call it same old boring habits. And we try to win little games each possession. And then you don't get overwhelmed by all the emotions and things that go into it. And one thing that is tough is everywhere you go, if you're a higher seed, everyone in the arena is cheering always for the underdog. So the longer mm-hmm. that game's close, the more people are all against you.
Scott, you've used the stove one a couple of times this year. I think we need a nickname for this team, the Stoves or the Burners or something, because it seemed to have worked. Yeah, it seems to have worked. And Scott, looking at the last couple of games, there's been some slow starts in there, and most of the time you guys have the talent and the effort to get back in those games and overcome that. And sometimes the shots just aren't going early. But what is their thing? What things can you guys do in practice to kind of come out with your hair on fire in a game like that? Or is it just entirely a mentality thing?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot, and I got asked this question earlier today, if you look at it, offensively, you want to get high percentage shots. Defensively, you want to make people take tough shots. And take our last game, Iowa State. First possession, Jalen gets poked in the eye or in the face, goes down. They have a 5-on-4 break. And 5-on-4, someone's open. So the open guy gets a three. Well, it's not like, how do you prepare for that, right?
Right.
And then the next possession, we come down, we're playing good defense, and their point guard, number three, steps on Jaden Nunn's foot. Jaden falls down, and he has a wide-open shot. Like, how do you prepare for that? You know? Now, the third possession, we had a defensive error that led to a three. We could fix that one. The other two, I mean, reality is, slow start, offensively, if your first couple shots are good shots, if you get high-percentage shots, that's what offense is supposed to do. Unfortunately, you don't always make high-percentage shots. So if they're bad shots, then you can correct it. But we've tried – we played zone first. We played man first. We've gone drive plays. We've gone inside. We've gone out. So, I mean, there is no perfect remedy. Basketball is pretty simple. Make sure you get good shots. And if you get good shots and you miss them, you better rebound. And then it defensively, make them as tough as you can. And guess what? Sometimes people hit tough shots. You're like, this guy's a 20% three-point shooter. You're playing great defense, and he knocks it in. You're like, well, is it you're not starting out fast? No, the guy made a tough shot, you know? So I think all that goes into the analysis.
All right, I'm going to suggest zone first. All right, if you're kind of on the fence
the
about
Mosley
it.
Scout.
I like it.
Yeah. I think it kind of freaks people out sometimes when you'll do it and they're just kind of like, whoa. But I mean, you did that to Big 12 teams. I mean, Porter said after that game, he's like, well, I knew they might go in it. I didn't think they'd stay in it the whole game, which I admired that he like was open about that. So anyway, zone first is my vote. Scott, have you ever been to Graceland? Have you seen the Elvis's home? I think I'm not going to put out there where you're staying, but you will be fairly close, I believe. Will you at least kind of, you know, drive over there and take a peek? Do you think your players are interested in seeing Graceland, or do they not care much about Elvis?
Well, you know, I think as long as Elvis is cheering for the Baylor Bears, we're down with Elvis. So, but I know it's a great opportunity for Baylor fans to have something
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, sure.
While they're in Memphis, along with great barbecue.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to be locked in on trying to make sure we're there all weekend and do everything we can to get to the next weekend. And unfortunately, that doesn't include visiting the King's residence.
Yeah. You should leave tickets for Elvis. I think Jerry Glanville used to do that in the NFL. You are in where he used to live, so that would be kind of cool if you just left a couple of tickets for Elvis. That would be fun headlines for people. All right. Well, Scott, this is exciting. So, by the way, you're not going to Louisville? Is that what I'm reading? I have avoided that. I've avoided that because I thought, hey, Scott's happy. He's here. He's one of us. I mean, I understand other teams. It's, you know, that's got to be gratifying and all of that are flattering to know other teams and fan bases want you. But I thought, unless I hear from Scott, you know, I don't think this is anything. And then today I'm seeing headlines, Scott is working toward an extension. So anyway, I guess I'm happy you're staying if that is indeed what's happening.
Well, what I can tell you is this. We hope we are playing for several weeks, and I know I've been locked in on Baylor University the entire season like I always am because our players give us their best. Our staff's always going to give them their best. Baylor University's been my family's home. All my kids have been born in Waco, Texas, so can't thank the community and the Baylor family for how they've loved our family. And we're hoping we can bring another championship home to Baylor this year and for many more years. And that's always been our top priority. So that's what I focus on during the year. Mm-hmm. And that's what I still focus on. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Okay. And I've avoided speculating and all of that. But you can imagine how many people have reached out to me. Matt, what's Scott thinking? What's he going to do? And, of course, I'm just like, listen, Scott does not wake up.
We're trying to just find another way to score a bucket and get a stop. That's all we think about during season, all right? Us coaches are pretty simple.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cannot wait to see you in Memphis, and I hope that doesn't put any extra pressure on the team having the Mosley show in town. I think y'all function pretty well. And so it'll be great. Baylor fans will come in from every direction. Big group in Nashville coming in. So I do think you'll be well represented, okay?
Well, appreciate you guys. Thank you for all that you do. And hopefully all the Baylor Bears that are making their way over, safe travels to you. And hopefully we give you a lot to cheer for. So thank you very much.
That's it right there. Scott Drew on the Matt Mosley Show as the Bears getting ready to return to the Sweet 16. I can smell it. And then, of course, then we'll get really greedy. It's like, hey, we're here. We might as well make it out to Arizona, wherever they're holding that, Glendale or somewhere, Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
I guess Glendale. I guess that would be Glendale. It's the football one. Yeah.
Yeah. L.A. is the one before, I think, the next. That's where the Elite is. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, all right. Well,